You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, we are in our summer series called When We Pray. And the last couple of weeks, what we've been doing in the series is through the month of August, just looking at prayers of the Bible. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, or maybe even not a Christian, sometimes you can get stuck in what to say and pray to God. Sometimes you just run out of words. Maybe you don't feel like you're eloquent enough or whatever it is. Or praying for others. It's kind of rote. And so one of the earliest lessons I learned is you can just steal prayers. The Bible is essentially a large book of prayer. In fact, Psalms is a book of prayer. And so what we've been doing is been looking at different prayers in the Bible. And we kicked off with a prayer for courage. We looked last week what looks like a prayer of dependence upon God. And so I really encourage you in that. Even if your prayer life is humming along and going well, it's sometimes great just to be able to tap into these heartfelt prayers. They are recorded in Scripture for our benefit. And so today, we're going to be looking at a prayer for maturity. What does it look like to grow in our relationship with the Lord as we pray for ourselves? But also, this is a great prayer for others, when you feel just a bit stuck, or maybe you're a small group leader, or maybe you're a burden for your family, or maybe a friendship, whatever it is, this will be a great prayer for you and I to pray for the growth and the well-being of others. This summer, my family and I, we got to get out of Toronto for a bit. We got to spend 3 weeks in the UK. So we went to go visit family. I'm originally from England, and so it was really great to go and reconnect with some of my family. And towards the end of our trip, we spent some crazy days walking London. And we were going to do 3 days in London. After 2 days, we were like, that's it. We're Londoned out. We're tourist out. Too many people. No aircon in their subway. And so we decided to go to this little town north of London called St. Albans. And I think the only reason why St. Albans is really famous is it's got this beautiful cathedral there. Alban was one of the first Christian martyrs in the year 300 A.D., died for his faith, and so out of that place and space, a church arose, and this church has been going for some 1,000 years. Obviously, it doesn't look like that 1,000 years ago, but over time, they've renewed it. It's in a magnificent place. If you walk into it, it's actually built in the shape of a cross, if you look from a bird's eye view. And just walking through, there's such intention. I mean, if you go to Europe, if anyone's ever been to Europe, like, they just built churches well back in the day, just magnificent. And so some of us can look at that and say, well, the church is not a building, it's the people. I understand that, but there is something worshipful about the intentionality, the architecture, the artistry, the design that went into these buildings, that everything pointed in some way back to God, some way back to Jesus and the gospel. And so if you ever get an opportunity to go to England, go do Buckingham Palace, do all the things. But make your way to St. Albans. Beautiful town, got really quaint little coffee shops, pubs, and those kind of things. But take yourself through this. And my family and I, we walked through here, and it was just really inspiring. And I was struck by how the gospel not only reached this place so long ago, but generation after generation after generation, people came to know the Lord, walk with the Lord, and pass on their faith to the next generation. And through all the changes, through all persecution, through all the challenges, century after century, the church has endured. And not just physically has the church endured, the people have endured. And that's exactly what we're praying and tapping into today. We're going to look at a prayer that Paul the Apostle prayed for new believers in a city, the Colossians, in a city called Colossus. And so he prays for them. The gospel's begun to take root in their lives, and he's really excited for that. And then he begins to pray this prayer. And I think this is a great prayer for us to look at. We're going to jump into it a little bit today. Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14. So he's heard about the Colossians' faith, and now he prays along these lines. For this reason, hearing about your faith and how you're growing, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so, Father, we do ask you today to come and do what you do best. Work in our hearts. Bring this word alive to us, not just in a mental capacity, but in the place that changes us, in our heart and our actions. Lord, do what you want through your word here today, that you would grow us up into all that you have planned for us. For your glory, our joy, in Jesus' name, we pray. And so every single one of us, we're always in like an in-between of where we're coming from and where we're going. Not what we used to be, but not quite maybe what we want to be. We're in this place of growth. What God has begun, if those of you are followers of Jesus, what God's begun in us, but obviously still a ways to go, right? We still begin to see areas that we're not fully arrived in our lives. And so this prayer then begins to really show us what to ask for in our own lives, but also in the lives of others that we care about, so that we keep moving forward as Christians, that we don't get stuck, we don't get stagnant, we don't live the same Christian experience every year over, and we just never grow up. And so this is a great prayer. And so Paul sees maturity as a flow, not just as a one-off event, right? Wouldn't it be great if it was just a one-off event? Wouldn't that be amazing? Just take this pill and you're going to be mature. All the forgiveness you need in the world, all the patience you need, I'll buy that pill for sure. No, it doesn't work like that. It's over a lifetime, really. But in his prayer, he acknowledges this. Is this process that God invites you and I into. And there's four things I want to highlight here today. It's the word know, live, power, and gratitude. And we're going to look at those. I want you to know God's will. Because if you know God's will, everything will change from there. But I don't want you just to know God's will. I want you to actually do it. I want it to translate into your life. And I want you to know that you're not going to be able to do that in your own power. There is a power available for you, and I want you to tap into that power. And as you do that, and as you begin to see God work in your life and in others, man, I want you to overflow with gratitude. Gratitude for the gospel. Gratitude for what God's done. That it never gets boring. That maybe you've been walking with Jesus for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, God willing, 40, 50 years. That it will never get boring, all that Jesus has done for us. And so let's have a look quickly at this prayer today, using these four words as a way to work through the process of maturity. Number one, know. Maturity begins with knowing God's will. Verse 9 says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So this is not just, hey, I want you to know more about God. That's beneficial, absolutely. Information is helpful. But he's saying, I don't just want you to know that. I want you to have the Spirit's wisdom and understanding too in the knowledge of God, to know what God wants, to know how God operates. I think in the Message, it has a great phrase, the ways in which God works. The ways in which God works. Anyone married here? Yeah, you remember when you first got married? It was a big learning curve to understand how you each know the way each one works, right? Took some time, right? And maybe it was really happy and joyful, or maybe a real struggle. In our first years, we really battled in the area of communication, knowing how each one works. We had very different backgrounds of communicating as people and as families, and we were beginning to start our own family. We had different expectations. I like driving. I don't mind driving. I like long drives. But when I drive, if you ever drive with me, it might feel awkward to you. It's not awkward to me, but it's not to say anything. Is that going to be awkward for some of you? Oh, my God. I don't feel the need to talk while I drive. I don't. Like, I just don't. But Chantal had a different expectation. That was the moment. That driving is perfect. You're like a captive. Not a captive. You can't go anywhere. This is when we can chat about life. What's going on? How are you feeling? And I just, it was irritating to me, to be honest. It was draining to me. But I think over the years, we've tempered each other. And so, kind of a fun thing, but knowing how someone works, And in a marriage relationship is good because it's a depiction of the kind of, not transactional relationship we want with the Lord, but with kind of like a love relationship that we want with the Lord. Maybe you're not married. Maybe it's a close friend or someone who really matters to you. That you understand how they work. That matters to you. And not just them understanding how you work. That's a give and take of a relationship. But understanding how you work. What's your expectations of communication? Knowing God's will. Understanding the ways of God. His heart. It's not just memorizing the Ten Commandments. That is helpful. That is knowledge. That is his will. But it's beyond just like a static, dry knowledge of truth. It's understanding the way in which God works. And without knowing God's will, you know, our maturity is really just going to stall, right? Without knowing God's will, something or somebody else's will is going to take up that space. Your will, the culture's will, your family's will, whatever it is. And then it might be, those people might have great intentions for you, but there's nothing like knowing God's will for how to live out life. And then being able to see that transform, as we're going to get into the later parts of the prayer, but into fruitfulness in our lives. Like I mentioned, we were in England, and we had a couple of days in London. And so this is an artifact from a couple of decades ago. So young people, you might not have ever seen one of these, but if you can put up that image, it's called a map. And before the days of cell phones, GPS, all that kind of thing, this is how you got anywhere. Either that or just there was a stubborn man behind the wheel. I know where I'm going. And you know how that worked out. This is incredibly helpful. This was incredibly helpful for us because we didn't really want to turn on our phones while we were in London. It's kind of expensive when you're abroad using data and that kind of thing. And so you can go from Wi-Fi to Wi-Fi, stand out the coffee shop. But sometimes when you're out of Wi-Fi, sometimes the map cannot be as true. And so this becomes kind of really helpful. Trying to navigate busy streets like a map is really helpful when you don't really know where you're going. And in some ways, this is what we're talking about. Life can be like being in a busy city. And there's lots of different things you could do, lots of different places you could go, lots of different ways that you could do it. But having a map just gives you a sense of clearness, clarity of how to get there, how to move, what's the safest way there, the best way to this spot that you want to go. That's a lot like getting God's heart, knowing the way God works about life. God has a blueprint for how life should work best. He really does. It wasn't that he just created us and it's like, hey, go figure it out. Like, there's freedom. Hey, he created us. Here's a blueprint for how marriage should look, how family should look, how business should look, how artistry should look, how walking with me should look, your purpose, where you're going to find satisfaction, where you're going to go off the rails. That's like a map, and having that is so helpful. Now, don't you wish we had a map of our lives like this, it was this detailed? You're not going to get that. God might give you glimpses of it, but it's in my experience of 25 plus years, I've never, ever had someone have, I have the blueprint of my life all figured out. And even if you do, oh man, God loves to put a little spoke in that. Like, oh, this road used to be here, it's no longer a road. Yeah. And so there's a method in that because it's not a reliance on a map, it's a relationship with God that he wants to cultivate. And so that is where kind of like a GPS is a little bit more helpful. It's like, I don't have a physical map in front of me, but I'm trusting the voice in my AirPods, I'm trusting the voice on my phone. In 200 meters, turn left, right? And we just so that's what we're talking about. That's what Paul's praying. I want you to know God's will. I want you to know the way God works, the way God operates. Because when we align our lives with that, that's how life works best. Not perfectly. We know that. We're not naive to think that everything's going to work out perfectly. We do live in a fallen world. But there is a way that we can live our lives and build our lives that's way better than us trying to do it ourselves or looking to the culture to tell us or looking to all these other different voices that may be in our lives. And so knowing God's will is really, really helpful to us. And so pray regularly for yourself. Pray regularly for others around you. God, I pray that they would know your will, that they would see life through your perspective, that they'd have a view of the world that's more aligned to your reality than perhaps the reality sometimes our five senses tell us. You know, God's will, I think, comes through different ways. And it's three primary ways if you look at scripture, particularly if you look at the New Testament. is God's way primarily comes through his word, right? Obviously, we know that. That's the primary way of God's, through his spirit as well, that we can be spirit-led, and then through his people, his church. And those are the three ways. And so sometimes in our Western minds, we have to remind ourselves it's not just you and you alone walking with the Lord. It's you with others walking with the Lord. This is a communal thing. There's no solo walking with Jesus in the sense that you can't do that by yourself. Yes, you have to cultivate an individual personal relationship with the Lord, but we never do that in isolation of his church. His church is not perfect. You know that. I know that. But it is a way. It is also a safe way to sometimes discern the will of God, especially when it's not clear in your minds. Have trusted voices of people around you processing, discerning it along with his spirit and his word. All right, so no, maturity begins with knowing God's will. But maturity isn't just about knowing. As much as that is important, and he starts the prayer there, it's about living out what we know. It's what we do with what we know that really becomes transformational in our lives. So live. He goes on, I want you to live a life worthy. In other translations, it talks about a walking with the Lord. You know, there's a picture of our relationship with God is like walking with someone, right? And I love that picture because you can rush ahead of someone or you can drag behind. But we're to walk with the Lord at his pace. That's what it looks like to have a relationship with God. Maturity shows up in how we live. Verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then it tells us, what does that look like? It looks like bearing fruits. It looks like growing, again, in the knowledge of God. So this is a walking of a consistent lifestyle that's trying to honor Christ, trying to bring glory to Christ, and it's characterized by fruitfulness and growth in the knowledge of God, growth in our relationship with God. What you truly believe, what I truly believe, will find a way to show up in your life, for good or bad. What you truly believe. Now, we can convince ourselves we believe something, but sometimes our actions might deceive us, right? There's a breakdown between maybe what we say we believe and what we actually live out, right? We all know that disconnect. But what we truly believe shows up in how we live. And so maturity is measured by fruit, not so much by just our beliefs. Now, let me tell you this. Belief is important, really important, right? Knowledge is important. He starts there. But if it just stays there, it actually is deceptive. It actually works against us. That we just get knowledge, but we never translate that into actually living it out, actually just changing how we live. Jesus actually highlights this connection between knowing something and living it out. Our behavior by emphasizing the discipleship process in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 8:28, he says, go into all the world and teaching them to obey. He doesn't just say, hey, go and teach them about me. Teach them to obey, to live this stuff out, to put it into practice in their lives. What we do with knowledge matters more than knowledge itself. And it's really important for us being on a university campus to remind ourselves of that, because we live in a city that is prides itself on high intellect. People come from all over the world to study at the universities here. People come to Toronto to advance their careers. Knowledge is really important. I've just finished a doctoral program. I'm all about the knowledge. I'm all about the reading. But when it comes to a relationship, when it comes to maturity, when it comes to that, unless that's translating into you being a more loving person, a more forgiving person, it's actually working against you. James calls it a deception that creeps into our lives. There's a disconnect between what we say we believe and how we live out our lives, right? And so this is what he prays. I want you to live a life worthy of the knowledge that you understand about God. If you know God's holy, if you know God's loving, if you know it's gracious, how does that impact you? How does it impact your life? How does it impact the way that you see others? And so he's praying that they wouldn't just have a knowledge of God, but it would show up in their daily lives. And so that's my prayer for this church. That's your prayer for me, please. And that's my prayer for you. That we would, I got to say, I enjoy preaching, but it can be one of the most deflating activities to do. Because I know the stats that by about lunchtime, you're going to remember less than 10% of what I've told you today. Unless you took notes, and I don't see a lot of people taking notes. And that's not a judgment on you. God bless you. But that's the reality, right? You're enjoying this. You're listening to it. And I'm hoping that God does something beyond just what Richard can do, that the Spirit will just get all over you, do something like that. But I remember we can be deceived coming in week in and week out and hearing stuff. And, oh, that was great, or that wasn't so good, or he thinks he's funny, but he's not really funny. Whatever it is, I don't care what you have a conversation. But if it's not translating, if you're living the same life over and over, you should stop and pause and say, why am I actually even showing up? I'm just living the same life. And I'm not saying that you should hear something today, it should be seen in your life tomorrow, but we should be seeing growth in our lives. And your growth will look different to another person. So don't compare your journey to that person's journey. Your growth might be slower, quicker, whatever. It might look different. But there should be growth. You should be able to say, hey, we're 6, 7 months. No, 8 months into 2025. What year are we in? 2025. Woo! We're 8 months into 2025. What were you like on January 1st? What were some of the goals you had in mind? What were some of the aspirations you had in mind? Life just goes back so quickly, and so we need to take regular moments to stop and pause. As we're about to launch out in small groups, if you're launching out with the same small group, that's great, there's consistency. But if it's just the same people looking like they're living the same lives with the same struggles, maybe this is a prayer you can pray in the next 2 weeks for your small group. God, I pray that this year would be different. I pray that this year we would really grasp who you are, but it would translate into our lives. I finished a 3-year doctoral program in May, which was great. And then I had a friend who was a fellow Every Nation pastor. He was doing that with me. Ross, I got to get to know him. Ross is a really funny guy, kind of a jokester, pranks, that kind of thing. So anyway, he sent me this beautiful tumbler. It says, it's doctor, actually. So if you're going to call me anything, that's what you need to call me. Which is great. And so the last couple of weeks, I got this really nice tumbler. It's one of those ones that like keeps things cold, keeps things hot. It's like a really fancy one, right? Like, and but I kept drinking it, and I kept like spilling stuff on my T-shirt. Now, I am kind of a messy person like that anyway. I don't know why. But it was really annoying because it felt like the lid was never fully on. Have you ever had one of those? Like, it felt like it was on, but like it was a bit like, oh, it shouldn't be bouncing like that. It should be. And I couldn't figure out. And so 3 or 4 dirty T-shirts later, I'm like, this sucks. And I began to actually think, I bet you Ross sent me this knowing it was faulty. He's that kind of guy. Like, I'm going to send you this and ha, ha, ha. It's a dud. It's a lemon. And so before I got on the phone with him, like, dude, stop sending me duds. It came with a second lid. And so I looked at the second lid. And then I looked at this lid and I realized something. You know the rubber seal that's in it wasn't in the right place. It looked like it was in the right place, but actually it slipped up. And so I put it back down, put the lid back on, and man, can we drink without spilling. Glorious water. So, yeah, if you feel like you need to give a round of applause for that, a clean T-shirt. Praise God for that. So, it was one thing knowing what was wrong. Oh, the rubber band, it's in the wrong place. That's really helpful knowledge. And I just put it back, never changed it, and kept spilling. It's another thing to take that knowledge and what the Bible says, using wisdom and understanding to actually then change it. Knowing something is not the same as then living it out, right? You know lots of stuff. You do, you know lots of stuff. But it's the stuff that we actually practice. Actually, we try out in our lives. And I think the word practice, like rhythms, habits, practice is I think, a very, because Christianity is a faith of practice. That should encourage you, because maybe you do something for the first time and you suck at it. Have you ever tried skating? Everyone come from wherever you came from, ice skating, big thing here. And it looks so amazing, right? Oh, people skating on these ponds and doing pirouettes and whatnot. And like, it looks awesome. And you put skates on and you look like an absolute whatever you look like. It's humbling. But you practice. And hopefully you get better at it. Practice. Reading your Bible takes practice. Praying takes practice. Loving your enemy takes practice. Forgiveness takes practice. A Sabbathing. You name it. It takes practice. Which means you're going to have to do a lot of it before you can get good at it. And so this is what he's talking about. Maturity shows up in how we live and how we practice this faith and put it into, okay, Lord, this is how you say I should treat my sexuality. I'm put into practice. This is the kind of person you say I should be looking for to marry if you have aspirations. Okay, I want to put that into practice. I'm not just going, that's amazing. I'm going to learn that, and I'm still going to kind of live my own life. That's knowing what was wrong with the lid but still having the wrong lid and drinking, right? Not going to work for you. Maturity isn't static. It's a living rhythm of practicing the way of Jesus and doing that with others who can encourage you along the way. But living like this way, living a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way, isn't easy, right? It's not easy at all. And you're going to need more than just gritting your teeth and your willpower. You have a role to play, right? Jesus is not going to pick up the Bible for you. You've got to do that. You've got a role to play in this, but yours is always the junior role. And so he prays for the third thing, power. Maturity requires God's strength. It requires something that you don't have. And that should be good news to you and I. Because there are a lot of gurus. There are a lot of experts on social media right now. You want to live your best life? Do these 17 things before you wake up in the morning. Have you seen those ones? Take a nice bath. Meditate for 10 minutes. Check your stock portfolio. Brew your cup of coffee, but it must be organic. Free trade coffee beans from this place that I highly recommend. Link in the bio. Whatever it is. Second ice bath. And it can feel like you're living a sucky life and everyone's just cruising in life. That's their will for your life. What's God's will for your life? Does he want you to do an ice bath? If he wants you to do an ice bath, do the ice bath. But there are just some things that we just cannot do ourselves. You can't change yourself. It took me a while, but I eventually learned in marriage, I can't change Chantel. And she can't change me as much as she would probably hope to. Now we can encourage one another and help one another, but there's just some things I can't do. God is the one, is the senior partner in this relationship. And so he prays, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And he connects God's power to endurance and patience. Like, this is a walk. This is a marathon. This is not a 100-meter sprint. This is a marathon. Your life is a journey. And there are many times that you're going to feel like you want to give up. There are many times that you're going to feel, I'm not a runner, but they talk about like the runner's wall. There's a certain moment where you hit a wall and it's so easy to give in, but if you press through that, you can probably then kick on to actually finish the marathon and that kind of thing. You're going to hit many of those walls in your life and your walk with the Lord. And so he connects, but I'm praying that you have a power that helps you endure, that gives you a stamina, especially when life is really hard, especially when life is really, really tough. Paul prays for a spirit-empowered endurance and patience, a stamina to persevere when life is challenging, when it is difficult. You know, maturity isn't tested with ease, right? Maturity is tested with difficulty. How we respond when the load is heavy and the road seems very long. And it's not by just gritting your teeth and just powering into your willpower, your self-will, but really by relying on God's power and God's strength. Which kind of connects us with the prayer last week, right? A prayer of dependence. God, my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. You know, every 4 years is the Summer Olympics, and then I guess we also have the Winter Olympics. But I love the Olympics, and it's like I become an expert on the most random sports. Like, who knew I was an expert on gymnastics tumbling? But when Olympics comes around, I'm like, oh yeah, this person, da 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 da. I don't know about you, like, whatever it is. There is a sport, it's a velodrome, which is like a circular, indoor, slanted track that cyclists cycle around, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, become an expert on that as well. I have no idea what it means now because we're not in Olympics. But when Olympics comes, dial me up. I'll tell you all it is. But what's amazing is there's a technique there where they'll have someone in front and they'll all try to get behind this person, right? And they're going and going. And then like in the last lap, it's just crazy. They all break out from this person and then they try to win the race. But they leave it almost to the last minute. What are they doing behind that person? They're trying to get into a slipstream that he's taking or she's taking the brunt of the resistance. And if I'm just going to, I'm not working as hard. I'm still doing my part, but I don't have to work as hard. And as soon as I get out of that slipstream, oh, there's resistance. And then you become the leader and everyone gets around you because they want to milk your slipstream. And it's a really great technique. It applies in Formula One racing and it applies in many different sports and that kind of thing. But it's getting into that slipstream and it's drawing upon a power bigger than yourself. And then it actually catapults you. You can use that to actually catapult you and give you a boost. That's the picture I want you to get when God says, I have power available for you. There is a slipstream that we can get into in our relationship with God where he is the one that we're following, that we're still doing our part, peddling, whatever that means, staying behind, leading, walking, knowing, all the stuff. But there really is a grace and an ease behind that that actually catapults us and allows us to move forward in life. And when we get out of that, we feel it. Oh. And if you're feeling like that, it might be God's gracious sign, a way of saying, hey, you're out of line in an area of life. You're not living what you know you should be doing. And that can be a way for us to recognize, repent, and get back into that slipstream. Maybe that's in relationship. Maybe that's in sexuality, maybe that's in your money, whatever, all the areas in our lives where we can line up with God or get out of line with God. But there is a slipstream behind a stronger rider, a stronger person in front, the Lord, that we can enjoy and move on. And so when you face a situation, especially a draining situation, stop and ask, am I doing this in my strength or in his? Does it feel like I'm doing it in my strength or in his? Does it feel like I'm doing the heavy lifting or am I relying on him to help me do some lifting in my life? And when we know God and when we're living by his power, it should flow into the final step of just a life of gratitude. Number four, he prays for gratitude. Maturity is fueled through joy in the gospel, through gratefulness in the gospel. Verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And verse 13, 14 goes on that he's taken us out of, he's redeemed us, and he's forgiven us. And so Paul really roots gratitude in remembering what God has done through Jesus, that he's qualified us for his kingdom through his grace, not our performance, that he's rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of light, and that he's redeeming and forgiven us through Christ. And that's a reminder we need at every stage of our walk with the Lord, because we forget. Gratitude isn't some like optional extra, hey, if you remember to be grateful, that will be great. It's really a big mark of a life maturing in Christ. It's a real big mark of maturity in a believer's life. How grateful, how joyful are they still? Or have they gotten more cynical? Because it's so easy to get cynical as life goes on. The more, you know, when you, have you ever met like a new Christian? They're like a puppy, right? Just like wild exuberance, just carefree, not a care in the world. They might pee on the couch, but yeah, they're adorable. You know, you pick them up, that kind of thing. They need to learn some stuff, right? Like a puppy, da da da. But how many of you know you can't live life like a puppy? You got to grow up. And it's, and in that growing up, we can just be, the joy can get stuffed out of us. Cynicism can, you have a little bit of life experience, you begin to learn very quickly that being a Christian doesn't make life less easy for you. It may make it more difficult for you, but we have a strength and a reliance on something we never had before we met Jesus that can get us through some of the most challenging parts of life. And so he's reminding them of who God is and what God's done, what God's doing, and God is still to do in your life. The gospel begins and then sustains our growth in the Lord, and remembering its good news to me, remembering its good news for us. It's kind of like, again, you know, in a marriage relationship or You have an annual anniversary, right? Typically, you'll have an anniversary of when you got married. If that's a significant date for you, it probably should be if you're married, I guess. I'm saying that. But like, you have other anniversaries, maybe when you first met, when you got engaged. But typically, you'll have an anniversary, and maybe sometimes you'll do something special for that. What are you doing? Is you're trying to remember. You're trying to rekindle. Now, you know, spoiler alert, married people, you know you need way more than just once a year to do that, right? But it is... What we're talking about here is you take regular moments and remember the spark, or you remember what it was like being in love. Now, you've got maybe some life under you, maybe you've got some experience, maybe you've got some kids around and life is different, but you're rekindling, you're trying to rekindle how it all began. And I think sometimes we just need that in our lives. Rekindle how it all began with your walk with the Lord. Rekindle what it was like before you met him and then as you met him. And it's not just remembering the facts of your salvation, yes, I'm forgiven, but reliving the joy of it. You know, what was it like being a puppy? Remember that moment, right? Just what was it like? And so rehearsing the gospel regularly, remembering God's love for us, is so important. I love this quote from John Mark Comer. He puts it like this: so many Christians simply have no idea of the staggering immensity of God's love for them, and of that love's power to transform them into people of love, as well as bringing them great happiness and lasting peace. If they knew, they would undoubtedly do whatever it takes to make time to be with him. Unfortunately, many of us still view following Jesus as a means to an end, a ticket to heaven, to nice feelings, to a successful, upwardly mobile life, and so on. We still don't get it. He's the end. The reward for following Jesus is Jesus. I'll be the first to confess I'm guilty. I'm guilty of not remembering it, because my life would look different if I knew like God's love. But honestly, it's that simple. Not simplistic, but that simple. To love God and love others is really the essence of what Jesus told us life is about. And so maturity could really just be measured by one thing. Are you growing more in love toward God and toward others? That's really probably the measuring stick of maturity. Am I more loving than I was 8 months ago, 8 years ago, toward God and toward others? That's probably the mark of maturity. But that Jesus is the end. He's not a means to an end. And we can use him as a means to an end, but he is the end. True gratitude and transformation flow from grasping the staggering love that God has for you and for I. And so the gospel is that foundation and the fuel for our maturity. And so this prayer in Colossians shows maturity as a flow. And so we'll end off with this. And so this is the flow. And maybe you want to pray this week. In fact, maybe is there someone you could pray for? Yes, pray this over your life. But is there someone you could pray this over even today, even this week? Asking God to grow them in knowing his will, in living for him, being strengthened by him, and giving thanks to him. Praying this flow over and over again for our lives and for others. You know, there's another great verse in another letter that Paul wrote, and he talked about, to the Philippians, he talked about how the work God began in you, having confidence that God will carry it on to completion. And that's the great comfort and hope that we have, that we have a part to play in our maturity, but we're a junior partner. He is the senior partner. As we get to know him and his ways and how he works, as we get to practice that and live that out and try and put it into practice, as we get to rely on his power to do the things that we can't do or struggle to do well, tapping that into it, and that takes practice. How do you know you're in your power? How do you know you're in strength and his strength? It takes some time and practice. It really does. But you will feel a difference being in the slipstream and not in the slipstream. You'll feel that difference in your life. And then lastly, growing in gratitude. Am I more grateful? Am I more joyful? Am I more, even despite all the things that life throws at me, despite the years I might have on me in my walk with the Lord, am I growing more in my love for God and for others? You know, like that cathedral, that St. Albans Cathedral that stood many, many centuries. God is building something into you and I that will last longer than our lifetime. You know, the fruit of maturity lasts longer than your lifetime. You know, the fruit of maturity can be a blessing to your kids and your kids' kids and to other people. But even more so, we know that our maturity can be last taken into eternity and withstand even from this life into the next. And so I invite you to stand. We're going to go back into song of worship. But perhaps two reflections for you. Number one, where do you see the gaps in your life? In that flow, where do you feel like you've stalled out maybe? The knowledge of God, living for Him, putting into practice His power and gratitude. Where do you feel like you've stalled? And here's a moment for God. I want to be reinstated in this area of life. I want to grow in this area of life. And then secondly, as we're in this series, it's not just about praying for us, it's about praying for others. Where in your life do you see people that need to be prayed over in their growth? You know, maybe your kids, your spouse, maybe it's a discipleship relationship in a small group. Maybe for our church, for your leaders. Prayer is not just us and the Lord, it's praying for others. And so, Father, we do thank you for your gracious invitation today to once again be transformed and challenged. Lord, as Paul prayed for the Colossians, I pray for us in this church, Lord, that we would grow in the full awareness and knowledge of you and your ways and how you work. But Lord, that knowledge would lead into practice, how we live it out. Lord, that we would live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing you in every way through our fruitfulness and our growth. And that, Lord, that we would somehow not do this all by just gritting our teeth and being hyper-disciplined. Those can be helpful. But Lord, that we'd rely on your grace and your strength and your power in our life, trusting you to change us where we can't change ourselves. Trusting you to break habits where we can't break them, Lord. Trusting you to change falsy belief systems, Lord. Lord, if we behave is driven by what we believe, then Lord, let's not just fix behavior, but look at the beliefs that are driving those wrong behaviors as well. And that, Lord, we do all this grateful, growing in joy, growing in our gratitude, Lord, remembering that you have done so much for us through Jesus. Remembering of the dire situation we are in individually and collectively as a humanity, and yet you chose to do something about it. Lord, remembering what it was, the joy of our salvation. Lord, let it bubble up and flow. And Lord, we pray that for ourselves, but we pray that also for others. And so we thank you here today, God, that you are a God that wants us to grow up into maturity and that help and to help others to do the same for your glory and our joy.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.